Ben Dunn. Ben, good afternoon. You there, Ben?
Yeah, can you hear me, Joe?
You're loud and clear, Ben. Ben, you contacted us about noon, but when did you get this idea? But you're encouraging people to leave Ireland.
No, I'll tell you, this idea has been building up in my brain over a period of months because I see more and more evictions. And then more recently, I've heard ministers talking that people will be evicted from their properties.
As a last resort.
Now, eviction in to the Irish person is a very, very provocative word. And I think that should be taken into account that in Ireland, we have the highest home ownership, one of the highest home ownerships in the world.
Yep.
And the reason, of course, for that is that we've only got to go back to our past and the amount of evictions that took place in the 1800s.
Yeah, okay.
And then we now have find ourselves in a situation today where people are being threatened with eviction. Now, I say there's a way around this. At the moment, there seems to be only one option. Try and stretch your debt out or, you know, work for the bank for the next 30 or 40 years paying off a loan on something that isn't worth half the price that you've paid for it.
Okay.
And I'm a great believer in copying good ideas. And whilst I mightn't agree with all good ideas, but if they're good, I will copy them. And I see where plenty of wealthy people have walked out of this country for a 12 or 15 month period and have got declared themselves bankrupt and have left debts anywhere between 5 million and over a billion and can come back in here and have not have the noose around their neck. Now, I think that if enough people, there are plenty of people who are young and who have the freedom to do it, maybe without children at the moment, and could walk away for 15 months, the banks would eventually own these properties. They wouldn't have been evicted. When the banks have enough of them, they'll be leasing them so cheap it won't pay you to buy a property. I think things will be a lot better for the people who have the courage to do it. I would far prefer to have 15 months of hardship than 30 years of hardship on the drip.
So what, you're telling them to drive up to Newry,
live in Newry or England, and come back and not have the noose around their neck because there's a £200,000 or £300,000 mortgage that they can't pay anyway, and over the next number of years is only going to do one thing, increase. Now, it has been proven to me when I look at this, the government couldn't deal with banks. When our banks were in trouble, the government paid the bondholders. When everybody is now saying, and at the time loads of people said, why should you give the citizens money to the bondholders? It's now seen that it's not the thing to do. In fact, in Cyprus, bondholders got stung.
But I know, but just, and we heard Mr. Modi yesterday say that the austerity programme that the IMF, etc. insisted on was wrong. But that's history, according to what, that's the government response today. But what you're saying to a young couple who bought a house at the height of the boom for maybe 400 grand.
Yeah.
It's probably worth it. We've been hearing of this programme.
About 150 in some cases.
And lower in other cases, we've heard. You're saying to them, give the keys back to the bank.
No, I'm not even saying that. I'll tell you, I know a fair deal about dealing with banks.
Okay.
And the only way you deal with banks is you deal with from a position of strength.
Yeah.
You go and see your bank manager.
Okay.
And you say, there's two options open to us here, Mr. Manager.
Yeah.
We are going to just go and leave, and we'll be back in 15 months' time, and the 300,000 is gone. We'll be bankrupt. And you will have so much property on your hands that you'll be letting it to letting agents, and we'll be able to come back and make a living, and what we make we'll be able to hold on to, and we'll have this unbelievable pressure of this enormous debt. The debt that those people have for 200 or 300,000 is no different than the debt that the guy has for 500 million. It's all relative.
Yeah.
And what I'm saying, governments tend to deal with things a bit like people who are sick. Loads of people who are sick don't really take head on and they try to put off the evil day. Instead of saying, Jesus, you know, I'm sick, I better do something about it. And you have to take tough treatment when you're sick.
So by going bankrupt, by declaring yourself bankrupt in the north or whatever, in a different jurisdiction, you then come back into Ireland with a clean sheet. You can get credit, you can get loans.
Well, at the moment, even if you could get credit, you can't get it.
Yeah, I know that.
So there's not much point in saying, if we don't pay, we'll never get credit again.
But you're not blacklisted, that's my point.
You're not blacklisted, that's exactly it.
The debt, Joe,
when it comes to commercial property, it's NAMA, and when it comes to private property, it's the banks. So the citizens of this country are between a rock and a hard place. And I'm saying there is an option. And nobody is advising anybody about the third option that I'm talking about here. And remember, this word eviction is a very, very provocative word.
And you know the government have said it'll only be, not that they'll be evicting anyone, but the banks will. So whether they'll have any say in it or not, they're saying a last resort, etc.
Everything is supposed to be a last resort. Yeah. But Joe, we have one bank that the Irish people bailed out.
Mm-hmm.
I think the debt for every man, woman and child in this country now is about 32,000 euro.
Yeah.
And that bank that's owned by the Irish people, that effectively the government should be running, they decided to up the mortgage rate by X percent at a whim. And we own the thing.
So you're saying the banks won't do young couples any favours?
Listen, the banks never do anybody any favours. We found that out from dealing with the banks when they went bust.
So you're saying to get rid of this debt around your neck. And the way to do it is you have to make a sacrifice, i.e. leave the country.
I'd far prefer to sacrifice 15 months of my life than 30 years of my life working for the bank.
And this idea, I know you only contacted us today, but this, were you inspired by reading about Sean Dunne? I know he's no relation.
No, I was
bankrupt.
Provoked by the word eviction. And it's becoming more and more use. I heard a minister on the radio today, and I suppose that's the straw that broke the camel's back, that said, look, it's inevitable, we have to face evictions. And I'm saying to myself, 80% of the people in Ireland own their houses. We've one of the highest home ownerships in the world. And the reason we had it is because of eviction. And we've done the full circle again. And they're using a word that provokes me, and I hope it provokes a lot of other Irish people.
But the Money Advice Bureau today put out, they say, a surprising statistic. They found that the people in mortgage arrears that are coming to them are aged between 41 and 65.
Which that'll just tell you how worse the situation is than any of us know. It's like everything, when this bubble burst, originally, the property boom burst, we thought it was a bit of a boil. But sure, it was a cancer. And nobody told us the truth, and it comes out in the drip and the drip and the drip, and it gets worse every day and every day and every day. And I'm saying it's time that people think outside the box.
Well, it's been going on for 5 years, Ben. Do you think we're over the worst of it?
I think that the elephant in the room are the people who have mortgages and the people who are people who bought houses 5 years ago as a starting house. Is that they paid 400,000 for a one bedroom or maybe an apartment with two bedrooms that really should have one bedroom, and they now want to start a family, and they're in the noose and they can't get out of it. And there are loads and loads of those. And then you talk about the other figures there you gave me of the older people.
Mm-hmm.
And there's only one way to deal with a problem, and that's head on.
But then it's the Irish taxpayer, given the history, it's the Irish taxpayer that will take the hit if people start declaring themselves bankrupt, left, right and centre.
But I want to tell you, the banks will take the hit.
But the banks are still there after,
they're not lending anybody any money. They're there, I don't know what they're doing. The only thing I do know...
Ben, the only way the banks could take the hit is that we loaded them up with bulletproof vests.
To the tune of
64 billion?
Surely you're not saying it's logical for two young people who bought a house for four or five hundred thousand, and to spend the next 30 years in that place, which was never their intention in the first place, and to work for 30 years in a property that they don't want to live in a property that they're going to pay property tax in, and I'm not against property tax. I've no difficulty paying the property tax because I like where I live. But if I was living in a... It's like saying you pay property tax if you're living in a cell in jail. And some of these people, whilst it's not a cell in jail, it's not too far removed from it.
But you're telling them, or advising them, up sticks.
Of course I'm saying, if the big boys have done it and got away with it, we've always said in this country, there's one rule for the rich and there's one rule for the poor. There's no stigma on these big boys who've done it. There's no stigma on Mr. and Mrs. Average who does it as well. I would say best of luck to them.
And when you say you've had to face down banks, I mean, have you ever persuaded a bank to let you default?
Oh, I've done deals with banks that lots of other people may not have done.
What do you mean?
I'm just saying I've done deals from a position of strength. I don't talk about my private business with a bank, but I'd never go in and meet the bank from a position of weakness. That's when the bank call you in. But when you call for a meeting with the bank, you're always doing it from a position of strength. There's two different ways. Usually it's the bank call you in.
Yeah.
Now, in a position of strength, they never call you in. They don't want to deal with you. But that's when you cut your best deals, when you're in a position of strength.
And Ben, what do you think of Sean Dunne and the various people who've declared them, or tried to declare themselves, and a lot of them have, outside the jurisdiction?
Sean Dunne mightn't be a good example, because I don't think he can prove that his main residence or his main part of income is outside the country. But all the average person in this country has got to do is up and go and get a job and work in England or Northern Ireland for 3 months, and that proves, and have a telephone line and a gas bill and an oil bill, and that proves beyond any doubt that they are now outside and their main income is outside. Now, if I was giving any other bit of advice, I'd be saying that the Irish government should change the laws. Mr. Shatter is, I think, trying to say that all the countries in Europe should make it 3 years for bankruptcy. Now, I think what the Irish government should do is make it 1 year for bankruptcy in this country and let everybody do it. The Brits have done it because they're smart. They've looked at what happens in America and they've said, we're going to do it in this country as well. And instead of us putting it for 3 years, I'm saying, and the government won't be long changing it. It was 12 years and they've brought it back to 3 years. If enough ordinary people, voting people, man and woman in this country just says, I'm up and going and leaving for 15 months. That's a big difference from emigrating to Australia. But you can get yourself out of a noose. Debt, I can tell you, financial worries has an unbelievable toll on a person's brain. They go to sleep at night thinking about it and they wake up in the morning thinking about it. And it is a silent killer.
As we've heard. Stay there with us, Ben Dunne, for a sec. David Hall. David, good afternoon.
Hey, good afternoon, Joe.
David is director of Irish Mortgage Holders Organisation. You've heard him on here. What do you think of Ben Dunne's idea?
Yeah, I think it's, you know, the reality here, as Ben has said, that this is a very serious societal problem. We've had a bank bailout. We're yet to have a mental health bailout and a serious bailout for people's health. And for those who can do it, it's not sometimes desirable for people. People don't like it from bankruptcy perspective, but it's been traditionally known as being bankruptcy tourism. You know, there's options to go to the UK, there's options to go to Northern Ireland. And unfortunately, not only is it an option and should be considered, many people, Joe, will be forced into doing this as a result of the inadequate insolvency bill about to come.
And David, have you heard of any, Ben Dunne, as you say, he says he's talking about the smaller person, so to speak, financially. Have you heard of anyone doing this?
I would have, after I spoke to your research earlier on, I have 13 clients who have done it or are currently doing it.
And what's the procedure?
There's two options. One is in relation to Northern Ireland or the UK is moving there, having a centre of economic interest there, which will require having a house. Okay. We would use an agent in the UK and an agent in Northern Ireland who would look after assisting and guiding and advising them on the local rules. And, you know, people get animated and get excited about, and creditors get very excited about people being advised to go and do something that disadvantages them. The reality is we've had 5 years of inaction by the banks in relation to clearing off this.
So you're saying, for argument's sake, I move to Newry, I have to rent a house,
have a mobile phone bill, be on the electoral register or be registered up in Northern Ireland. So it sometimes doesn't suit those who are still working, Joe, down south. Mm-hmm. It's still possible, but sometimes it's a bit prohibitive.
Okay, I presume I give the keys back to the bank in the meantime, do I?
Well, you don't have to give the keys back. You can go and your official assignee, once you're bankrupt up the north, your official assignee will then deal with your bank on your behalf. So you don't even have to have the trouble of having to go and deal with your bank.
And then what's the benefit 15 months later when I come back over the border?
back over the border, you're back clean.
No debts, no outstanding debts.
No outstanding debts. There's a credit risk. You may have, some people might get excited at the fact that you were bankrupt, but as Ben mentioned, the younger that you are, you know, when you're starting out back in life again, you don't have any other complications, and it most certainly is a viable option, and it's not as crazy as people think. And, you know, we have to take a step back, Joe, and have a look at our peers and our esteemed business people and our developers who cocked up and got us into this mess in the first place. They've had the leisurely journey of going to the UK and indeed now recently Mr. Dunn over to the United States to avail of their loose bankruptcy regime, whereby most ordinary people in Ireland are being compelled to go through an archaic bankruptcy system that currently exists, a new insolvency system that's about to launch that has not yet launched, and yet it is controlled fully by the banks and creditors. So it's a complete imbalance. And most certainly, this is an element of rebalancing that imbalance. That's not for everybody, but for those that it is for, and anyone who wishes to speak to anyone in the UK or Northern Ireland about it, if they want to go on to mortgageholders.ie and email us, we'll put them in touch with relevant people, no problem.
OK, stay there for a second. Francis Duffy. Francis, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe. How's you going?
Good. Francis, you say you were listening to this programme about a year ago and a man talking about exactly what Ben Dunn is now talking about, stress running up to Christmas, no money, mortgage, negative equity, and you decided to do something. Go ahead, Francis.
Yes, Joe, me and the wife, we just looked at, we had our own home plus with other properties that we had rented out, which we were legally given, you know, with the boom and all, that you can afford to do this, you can do this and do that, and then just interest rates went through the roof, where everything just went pear-shaped. But what we done, we just went to the High Court in Belfast and just got ourselves bankrupt.
And all your debts were wiped, effectively?
Wiped straight away.
And the relief?
The relief, unbelievable. You just can't describe what way, like I think the gentleman was saying earlier on there, sleeping debt is on, it's on your mind when you go to bed, it's on your mind when you're trying to sleep, it's on your mind when you get up. Joe, we came down the road from it, and, well, I was sort of contemplating this last 15 years I've been paying mortgages and all, and much of that, that's probably about 80,000 I've spent out of my wage, and the wife says, what are you thinking about? And I said, well, just thinking the money that we did spend. And she says, you're thinking about the money we spent? We'll just have to walk it away from £760,000, and you're thinking of what money we did spend on mortgages. And I says, do you know what, you're absolutely right.
And what, Francis, what were you left with? I presume all the properties were gone.
Yes.
They're all gone. The loan, the outstanding debts are gone. But in terms of, are you disbarred from anything because you're a bankrupt?
Sorry, Joe, what do you mean?
Are you disbarred? I mean, can you go in and get a credit card? Can you go in and get a loan? Can you...
Oh, yeah, well, for the first year, what they say, you're bankrupt for 1 year. And that's, after that, yes, there's plenty of companies out there now saying you will give you a credit card and all, but the interest rate will be about you. I don't want a loan or a credit facility with anybody ever again in my life.
And where are you living now, Francis?
I'm living in, I'm renting my sister's house.
And you feel... you sound like you're on a completely different planet than you were 12 months ago because of this.
Unreal, Joe. What we done there when we got Christmas out of the way, because we were so used to not having a penny here or a penny there, everything was going to pay debts. Now that we with Christmas over, we were sitting with this surplus money. She works, I work. I said, what did we do? Right, we went up the road and looked at a caravan, and I says, the caravan was £12,000. And we turn around and says, do you know what? When the man says, could we pay this off? He says, absolutely. And I says, if I give you such and such every month, can we have that? And I'm picking that up now in 3 weeks' time. And me and the children, we can't wait. We'll be touring the whole of Ireland, going everywhere. You know, the children's looking at the map of Ireland. Oh, let's go to Wicklow. And we've been looking at the Red Cross caravan site there. Now, we can't wait.
And there's no property tax on caravans, by the way, as well. Remember, stay there, Francis. Francis,
no,
I have Elena on the phone, Elena Mila Morgan, she's in Dunleary. Elena, good afternoon. You're listening to Ben Dunn.
Oh, yes. Good afternoon, Joe. Yeah. I just want to congratulate Ben Dunn, what he said about people emigrating. And I totally, totally agree and encourage everybody, all the young people, first of all, to learn continental languages.
Okay.
Or any languages, and leave Ireland for a while.
But Ben's, you know Ben's thesis about eviction, the worry, the stress,
exactly,
the mental stress.
Evictions. Well, I'm from Spain, from Barcelona, Spain, and the evictions in our country, they are, you know, they are very bad at the moment. I mean, it's not anything like that in Ireland. But in Spain, when you cannot pay the mortgage, they put you on the street. And I know for a fact, because every, you know, from my family in Barcelona, reading the papers and whatever, there's an awful lot of suicides lately in Spain, all over. In Ireland, I don't know, at the moment, the banks, they don't evict people, that's great. But I feel really, really terrible that all these people, they own business, like Ben Don mentioned, bankers, builders, you name it, they can go to another country and get bankrupt and come back to Ireland and start it all over again. You know, we found it very, very difficult. I mean, my husband lost the job 2 years ago, and we have to thank God we paid the mortgage, you know, and everything. But imagine if in the good old days, you know, we're going to New York shopping, we'll buy another house and whatever, we'll be in the same position as everybody else. And I feel very, very sorry for all the young people and all the people. They are really under stress, because if the banks are going to, you know, put everybody on the streets, it's going to be terrible.
Have you family still in Spain, Elena?
Yes.
How are they doing? How is Spain doing?
Very badly, compared to here. My brother lost the job, and he's an engineering. Okay. Lost the job about 2 years ago. And my other brother, he had his own business. It's a building business, and he's doing badly as well. But they're preparing to, you know, to go abroad to work or to get something else, I don't know, and to go back to study. And it's really bad, you know. I feel sorry for them, and I know quite a few people in here they lost jobs as well in Ireland.
And how does Spain compare to Ireland, Elena?
I think it's worse. Yeah. I think it's worse than Ireland. You know, I think it's worse.
Have you children, Elena?
I have two boys. Yeah, 22, and nearly finished college. And
so your advice?
18, and. Certainly, they speak, they are bilingual totally, and they are very good at French. And I will encourage to leave Ireland.
To go where?
Go where? I don't know, Joe. I don't know. I mean, well, my eldest son is going to do a master's probably in London or Paris. And my youngest one is going to do the Living Cert next year. And whatever they want, I mean, they have to get experience. And certainly learn more languages. That's the thing that I encourage everybody to do. The Irish are not great at languages, I have to say.
Okay.
Unless you go to the States or Australia and all these sort of things. But the jobs are not there either, I believe.
But you're saying the banks in Spain are much more prone to move to eviction.
Totally, yeah. Spain at the moment is a no-no. Even if I'm going to see my parents, you know, this summer. But I don't know what's going to happen in Spain. Spain is in a very bad position with evictions. I hope that is not going to happen to Ireland. I hope.
Okay.
You know, I hope.
And do people resist evictions, Elena, in Spain?
Yeah, they resist. The people go and they strike, and the people go to somebody else's houses, the neighbours and whatever. They go all pulled together. But it's nothing. I mean, the police, they go there, and the eviction families and whatever. Recently, a lady... just because the house was going to be evicted, and just commit suicide. You know, left two small kids.
Okay.
You know, and it's happening all over Spain, and I feel sorry for, you know, for the people over there.
Okay.
Ben Don, I have to say, Ben Don, you know, when evictions came up, and I said, well done, Ben, you know, that sort of thing that people going.
Yeah, but Ben is taking a step forward. You're agreeing with him, in a different strand, really, in terms of immigration. But Ben, would you encourage your own children? I know they're adults.
No, Joe, I want to tell you.
Okay.
I know what living in a pressure cooker feeling for your brain is. I have enough history and enough background and information. And I can tell you there are low, and debt is one of the greatest things that can erode. As I said, you go to bed at night and you wake up in the morning. And it's only when you get out of that pressure cooker and get rid of that thing that's causing that pressure in your brain that you'll realize that life is worth living again.
Yeah.
And when you have people like banks who are rootless people.
Exactly.
They lent their, as an old saying goes, they give you an umbrella when the sun is shining. But these are faceless people. They lent money. They advised people. They gave them 110% mortgages. They told them everything would be okay. And but when they turn the tide on you, they are rootless.
Ruthless, yeah.
And there's only one way of dealing with that. You fight fire with fire. And there's a very easy option. There is 15 months of relative hardship,
well,
but then there's the rest of your life where you're not living in a pressure cooker. Why live under the microscope of a banker calling you in on a regular basis? What are you earning? How are we not getting more from you? Imagine living that if you're 28 years of age, until the age of 65.
Yeah. Okay, stay there, Ben, because people who are considering the idea want to run it past you. After this, 51551.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
51551. Paul, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe. How are you doing?
What do you think of Ben Dunn's idea?
I'm listening and I'm thinking, I feel hopeful for the first time in years when it comes to the whole mortgage crisis.
What is your mortgage?
We have a debt of, we borrowed €400,000.
Yeah.
And we put €50,000 of our savings off our property. And we now find ourselves, we've been paying back 5 years.
Yeah.
I haven't paid a full mortgage in 2 years. And I now owe €440,000.
And how much is your house worth?
It's worth, probably $220,000 maybe. Maybe between $200,000 and $220,000 at the moment. And we were with New Beginnings yesterday.
Okay.
And they explained everything to us very clearly, very well. And we're in a terrible situation. They told us the banks are going to take absolutely no loss. The only loss they're taking is in regards to shelving. They'll shelve part of our mortgage for us and charge us 1% on that.
So this idea came up a few weeks ago when the insolvency business was being discussed, that you would park half your mortgage.
That's exactly it, Jeff.
But parking doesn't mean abolition.
No. With 1% interest on the amount you park. Now, New Beginnings told me, they said, if you want to go insolvent, that we would have to sell our property with the agreement of the bank, and then the bank will chase us for the deficit of money.
For the rest of your life.
And he said the bottom line is that the bank wants a third of my income. So they want a third of my income for the rest of my life. They want that. And anything that I get, anything extra, any windfall of money by some sort of miracle, they still want the cut of that. They're not going to take any losses. They will chase me down. They'll hunt me down. They'll want us. So...
But,
well, there is the option now, you see, and they're the people that I'm trying to get home to, that there is daylight at the end of the tunnel, because I can hear it in that man's voice, the pressure he's under, and he's really digging a hole for himself the longer he doesn't do it.
Yeah, well, we're thinking strongly now today.
Well, I'd advise you strongly.
The only thing is we'll give the house back, and, you know...
Don't give it back, just move. When you're bankrupt, there'll be somebody to take care of that. Don't even give them... Look, don't even give them that respect.
Yeah.
But don't get yourself, because you sound a decent man. Don't let a bank evict you, because eventually you're now one of the people that I'm concerned about, and the big thing they'll say, we're putting an eviction order against you.
Or we're
putting a charge against you.
Yeah.
And they're the type of thing that if you have any sort of soul you want to avoid.
You know, Ben, the bank have left it on the long finger for the last... We've initiated...
Sure, that's the problem. Meeting after meeting with the bank since 2008.
Yeah, they've done nothing, but they've left my variable rate of 4.7 just build and build and build, and the debt has gone up and up and up. They've done nothing. We've went in and pleaded with them. We said, look...
But I already said to Joe, you only go to the bank in a position of strength. My advice to you, one of the things I would say now, you can say you were speaking to Ben Dunn, and it's well known now, it's an open conversation, and you go down and see the bank and say, now, you have two options now. You either deal with me, Mr. Bank, or I'm exercising the option that Ben John suggested.
Yeah, but you know what they're going to say, Ben?
Yeah?
Be realistic. They'll say, Paul, we have your file here. You have two children, Paul. I don't know what age are they, Paul?
But he has to make a tough decision.
You know what I mean?
You don't go in and bluff with the bank.
Yeah, 9 and 6 is my children.
You know, they have you over a barrel, Paul.
Yeah.
Haven't they, Ben?
Well, they have it everywhere.
But Joe, does Paul want to live the next 30 years of his life working for the bank?
Okay.
At the moment, they're taking one third of his income. The chances are they'll take more. He'll be then passing that debt on to his children because it won't be paid off, and he may be living in a place that in 30 years' time isn't where he wants to live. Going to have to make the sacrifice, and I'd prefer to go through torture for a year than 30 years on the drip. I mean, he said himself that his debt, he's been paying it for 5 years, he put in 50,000, he borrowed 400,000, and he still owes them 440,000 after 5 years.
Yep.
It's going backwards, he is.
So, yep. Paul, would you consider, you know, you don't want to be saying these things to families either, but it's an awful situation you're in. Like, would you consider moving to Newry for a year?
Absolutely. I think when we sat with these people yesterday, we realised we have options. We have options, and we're going to have to make a very tough decision now. We have two children, but we're going to have to make it.
But isn't it, the sooner you make it and the earlier you make it, the sooner it's over. Okay. I've had to make tough decisions in my life, and the quicker I made them, the quicker they were over.
Yeah.
And I tell you, from living life the way I've lived life and had to make some very, very tough decisions, the only regret I have is that I didn't make the tough decisions soon enough on some occasions.
Mm. Yeah, but Ben, you know, when you were what I was going to say to you was when you were in dire straits for a number of reasons that you've spoken publicly about before, you always fell back on your nuclear family. You always had your children and your wife around
and
you.
Children off
you always and you were you made your mistakes, but you always fell back into that safety.
Now I was lucky enough to have a wife and children.
Yeah, I know, but what you're saying to Paul is, Paul, you have a 9 and an 8-year-old. Does Paul leave those children here with their granny?
No,
what does he do?
He will bring them, and they're at an age where he can bring them, and a 15-month break won't make that much difference over their lifetime. But if he'd done it when they were... If they're living with a father...
Okay, you're saying now.
As he's growing up, growing up, and if he's under more and more pressure, that will affect his children long-term.
Okay, Elizabeth's on the line. Stay there, Paul and Ben. Elizabeth's in Meath. Good afternoon, Elizabeth.
Hi, Joe.
You say you were hospitalised because of distress.
Yeah, this time last year, 2 weeks from now, this time last year, I would have been hospitalised because of stress to do with the banks. My husband and I have been dealing with the bank for approximately 4 or 5 years now. Mm-hmm. And it got to the point last year where I literally was saying to them, here, have my house. If you're going to take it, take it.
Right.
And I was ready to hand the keys back. I had all the furniture moved out, ready to move 2 streets away, prepared to pay my council €35 a week, which is what you pay your council as a family of four.
For a house,
and the banks wouldn't allow me to do that. They have me in a financial entrapment situation, and entrapment is entrapment. And I just want to say that if €35 is good enough for my council, then €35 should be good enough for my bank.
And how big is your mortgage, Elizabeth?
Sorry?
How much do you owe the bank? Can I ask that?
I'm in arrears by tens of thousands.
Right.
And
have you any income?
No, my husband and I don't even have a bank account. I go to the post office to pick up my allowance weekly, and it's keeping my family, my two children and my husband and I, who I love, going. And the banks haven't cared about my family at all through this recession, and they haven't cared about us as customers. And if €35 a week is good enough for your council, then it should be good enough for the people that think, they only think they're in power. Because, you know, a loving God and a loving country doesn't want its people poor and scared. And I love my husband and I love my children. And my bank doesn't love me or my family, but my council is prepared to take €35 a week and to give me some sort of life.
And when you've met the bank, Elizabeth,
yes,
this thing
we've
that Ben...
dealt with the bank weekly. We've dealt with the bank monthly. Yeah. We've dealt with the bank yearly for the past 4 or 5 years. And you know what they're saying now, Joe?
Mm-hmm.
They're saying now, oh, your solicitor hasn't contacted us. They're now saying my my solicitor is part of the problem. My solicitor is a good person because my solicitor is trying to help my family. And I don't want to leave Ireland. I don't want to go north because it means taking my children away from their friends. It means me and my husband looking at each other saying, I failed. I'm sorry I failed. Tell the big bank, I'm sorry I failed, but I'm only human. I didn't stop lending people money. The bank did. The bank started this recession, not me. If the bank was lending people money, somebody out there could have bought my house. I didn't create this. But they're willing to take money from my parents. They're willing to take money from me. They're willing to have me hospitalised. They're willing to take my children's future. Is that what we call the loving country?
And when you say you ended up in hospital, Elizabeth, this time last year...
Yes, I did.
And how do you blame the banks on that?
I blame the banks because they don't care. You're only a number. You're a number on the computer. Somebody could pick up their finger and push a button and take the numbers and do something with them. They're calling themselves intelligent. It's not intelligent what they're doing.
And what assets have you got, Elizabeth?
I have no assets.
Well, you have the house you're in that they won't
it's
take back.
It's not my house. Banks, Joe. Okay, they keep reminding me it's theirs. I clean it. If I was to go home and clean the bank manager's house, he'd have to pay me. But he's not paying me to maintain this house.
Well, have they taken the keys back for the house?
Sorry?
Have they taken the keys back?
They won't.
They won't. They want the money. They want the money they loaned you.
Sorry?
They want the money they loaned you back. That's what they want. Yeah.
They want your money. They want your kids' future. They want more than blood. They want everything.
But you're not leaving. That's your point.
I left and they wouldn't let me leave and I said, well, this is what you're getting. If it's good enough for my council, it's good enough for you. And you know what? My council is good enough for me.
Yeah, but you still have this outstanding loan. I don't know how much. Is there a figure on? Is it, you say it's tens of thousands.
It's tens of thousands. I have a big mortgage.
Is it hundreds of thousands?
My mortgage is hundreds of thousands and I owed in tens of thousands. But that doesn't matter, Joe, because a person who earns 400 euros a week is the same as a person who earns 4,000 euros a week. It's numbers. We're all equal when we're in the shit.
I agree with that 100%. And that here's another very sad case. Mm-hmm. And the reason I made the call to the program today, Joe, is because I keep my feet in the ground. I listen to people and I talk to people. And I've heard so much here today. And it seems to be glossed over by the government and by people in financial circles and by banks. Mm-hmm. And you listen to the ads. Ring us up. We'll do this for you. We'll do that for you. I think we're getting the tip of the iceberg. Things are a lot worse. The elephant in the room are the people who have mortgages and are in negative equity in this country. And until it's tackled head on by the government and by the banks, you're going to have more and more people like that lady there and the other man who, all I can say, I can feel the stress and depression and tension through the telephone line. So what it must be like if I met you, I think I'd nearly cry.
Well, you know what,
I pray,
Mr. Dunn,
I,
Mr.
God help you, I feel sorry for you.
Mr. Dunn, we walk the same footpath.
Yes, we do.
You know,
and the
and
bankers
like,
do as well, and the ministers and the government do. And it's all blooming fine for people in government buildings or the people up in Dublin Castle today to be prancing around the place. And I heard one minister saying he had dinner last night, in all probability, in a 5-star restaurant. But listen to the ordinary people in this country who are on their knees. And nobody taking any notice about them.
But you know what? My family had dinner. And you know what's sad about this? The bank likes you on your knees.
Absolutely. I agree with that as well. When they love, I told you, they give you an umbrella when the sun is shining. But when it's raining, do they want to roll you into the right steamroller over you? Okay. Take every bit of pride and feeling and good feeling you have. They want to make you feel terrible.
Well, you know what's
and
better than
they're
pride?
They're quite good at it, let me tell you.
You know what's better than pride? Sitting down on a day like, say, Christmas Eve with your two kids and your husband. And nobody can take that away from
you. Nobody can take that away from you. And remember one thing, it's only a commodity, money. So don't allow yourself to be pressurised. But don't allow yourself to be evicted either.
No, and you know what?
Well, Elizabeth,
like,
don't try not to allow yourself to be hospitalised either. You know what I mean?
For a second time.
If you can't go north, if you can't go north. If you can't take your kids out of school, and I really do appreciate you making that call, Mr. Dunn, but if you can't bring your family north,
I agree with you.
Give them 35 euros, because that's what you're going to have to give your council.
And Elizabeth, the only reason I made the call, I know there's loads and loads and loads of people like you who are entrenched. The bank have you surrounded, like the Indian surrounded General Custard. They have the noose around your neck. And the only advice I'm giving to people who are not in your situation, to avail of it now before they find that they're in your situation.
Okay, I take
because
that.
Your conversation today should put the fear of God into people.
The banks don't have a noose around my neck because I'm standing on the shoulders of my husband, and my husband makes me feel 6 foot tall.
Well, that's great to hear. I'm delighted. My wife done that to me in my tough times as well. And it's great to have support like that. God bless you.
Stay there. John is in Carlow listening to Elizabeth and Paul and Ben.
Okay,
Elizabeth, thanks. Thanks indeed. Mind yourself now, Elizabeth and me. John is in Carlow. John.
Joe, how are you doing?
You're listening to Ben
Dunn. I just want to thank Ben Dunn there for ringing in and giving the people of Ireland a bit of hope. And at this time, we just need to be strong and not let them banks bully you. For all the people that is in this debt, because they're the ones that are after walking away debt-free. They're after getting double-paid. Taxpayers give them the money, and now they're shafting all the people again. But it's people like Ben Dunn who knows from business and knows what he's talking about.
OK, have you stood up to the banks?
Oh, you stood up to the banks, yeah.
What happened?
I'll tell you what happened. Credit card debt and a few bits and pieces. I lost my job after 15 years, 3,500 of a debt, and they actually called to my door and took 800 euros in cash and went away.
You said you negotiated there and then?
Yeah, and they sent a man to the door. He came and collected 800 euros, and that was the end of that.
And then they say they don't take debt write-off. That was a classic example.
And if you lost your job, John, how's your mortgage?
My mortgage is small. I'm quite good there. There's no problem whatsoever. But I'll just give you another thing.
Yeah.
I actually sat with them 3 weeks ago, and I've told them that the bit of the mortgage that's actually left is not worth talking about. And I told them there that I wanted to get a round ball figure to pay it off completely if I came up with the money, and they told me they don't do deals. But then she said to me, if I kept my mouth shut and I didn't really speak to anybody about it.
But I want to tell you, Joe, can you not hear the different tones? There's a man who's not under pressure, who's able to deal with the debt that he has. We've heard a lot of people here today who are up to their oxers in trouble, and it's mentally disturbing to hear it. For me,
yeah,
anyway.
I always played hardball, Ben. I always played hardball.
So did I.
Money. Always did. I was always self-motivated by money, and I always was able to keep the boot in.
I'll tell you something here, and I'm saying it to the country. My father liquidated Dunn Stores in the 50s. Not many people would have known that,
know
but
that,
he did do it.
And he started again.
Yes. He was ruthless too, you know.
But then suppliers lost out, creditors lost out, Ben.
No, he didn't actually. He paid a pound in the pound.
Pound, pound. Okay.
There's nobody losing out anymore, Joe.
The government, you turn around and take all the people who were shareholders in the bank that was nationalised. Did the government give much damn about the people who held the shares in that bank that were nationalised, that lost their I know people who lost their life savings.
I know that.
But they paid all the bondholders every cent. I mean, it was criminal. And now these same bankers who put this debt onto the Irish citizens are trying to railroad us into the ground. They won't railroad me, they won't railroad John, but there are thousands and thousands and thousands of people, like some of the people we've spoken to here on air today, and they do need a voice and somebody to stand up to the banks and say enough is enough, and somebody to stand up to the powers to be in this country, whichever minister says we're going to have evictions, say, excuse me, 1800, we had enough words about eviction. We're not listening to that any longer in this country.
Yeah. Okay. Joe, can I just say one final thing?
Yes, John.
If all the people, like that last caller that came in, that lady there was crying
Elizabeth,
on the phone.
Yeah,
Elizabeth. If Elizabeth just thinks like a business person, and it's like if she's going to buy a second-hand push bike or a motorbike, and when she goes, she negotiates the price to get it down to the point she's happy with this price. She wants to start thinking like a business person and think the way they're able to go up and move sticks and jump from country to country and country, and it doesn't even cost them
Okay, there's more people want to ask, and I'll ask more questions myself after this. 51551, stay there.
Oh, on 1850 715 815.
Whether you're
51551 is our text number. Paul, and you're probably the example that Ben is looking at, Ben Dunn is talking about, but from your point of view, with two children, yeah, it will cost you money to move north for a start.
Well, I suppose what my hope would be, Joan, at this stage is maybe that I'd be able to get some type of work. It's not going to cost me any more than, we can't live as it is. We don't have a penny. Everything we have goes on paying our bills and paying what, back to the bank. And there's been, as I said, the bank have been silent, no voice whatsoever. The bank has just done nothing at all for us. And we are living, we're living with the stress. We wake up every morning stressed out of our minds with saying, what's going to happen next? You're listening to the media, you're reading newspapers. The government has washed their hands of it. They've just completely, like, I went into the bank last week. I was supposed to have a meeting with a restructuring manager. Because we initiated calling the head office of the bank, asking, can we go in and meet up again? I filled out the SFS forms time and time again. We went back into the bank, and they said, we don't have any restructuring manager. We don't know what you're talking about. We left the bank in tears and thought, this is just ridiculous. And that's when we decided to go to look for one of these organisations like New Beginnings and see, can they do anything at all for us? It's just living in limbo.
Living in hell, Paul.
Well, that's what it's like. And then the government, they've just completely washed their hands of it.
They've washed their hands of it because none of them are in the predicament that
they're
you're
not,
in.
But they're happy to give you all the spiel before. Like, I met with them before and asked them, what would these do? And I got all the promises from Labour and not letting Fine Gael off the hook either. They're a disgrace. And then you have the banks, and what the media is doing then as well is it sets up the people who are paying the mortgages against the people who aren't. Mm-hmm. And you hear this on prime time and this, that and the other. That's good and that's good. They're fighting with one another. And the government loves that because it's moral hazard. So it's just a disgraceful situation to be in, and nothing is happening. It's still on the long finger. And my 4.8 variable or 4.7 variable rate keeps adding more debt to me. So I have to make a decision. I'm thinking, will I go to work for the next 30 years just to be hounded by a bank and pay everything that I earn, a third of I earn what I earn, they want. If my wife gets a job when the kids get older, they want that as well. It's like, what hope would you have to stay living in that type of environment? You know, you can't just go out and say, let's go and have a Chinese, let's go here, let's do that. That's all gone. You can't do that anymore. That's completely finished. You know, and I know I took the debt out. I know the bank were only happy to give me the money. But my point is they take no hit. They want my family to take the hit. They want us to suffer the pain. They don't want to take any pain whatsoever. It's an absolute disgrace. And the government sit by and let the bank do it. It's a disgrace.
And the taxpayer took the hit on the banks. But Ben, isn't that the problem? That if the banks get into... If people start declaring themselves bankrupt and moving and... i.e. not paying back their loans and then having it wiped. But someone has to pay for that at the end of the day.
The reason
that it won't be the banks, it'll be the taxpayers.
One of the reasons that this situation is about is that we put a priority on the bondholders. And now we're asking the citizens of this country to work for the next 30 years for the banks that we bailed out.
Okay, so you're saying don't wait for the government to change their mind.
Don't wait, the
you
government
change.
Won't
stay there, stay
they're
there.
They're all in good jobs, Barry, well pensioned, they're index linked, they've got state cars, they've got everything. Look, governments today are in business the business of getting well paid. They run the country and they have a good time and they eat in the 5-star restaurants and they have a real good standard of living. The government and the people who are, and the Troika and Europe, have put us into this situation where the average citizen in this country, the middle-income people, or as we used to call people middle-class, there's no middle-class in this country any longer. Every middle-class person, 80% of middle-class people, are poor now. And the poor are bloody well poorer.
Barry Callaghan. Barry, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe. How are you doing? Thanks very much for taking my call.
Okay.
Joe, I'm just heartbroken listening to Paul there. And my story, you know my story, I lost millions paying back the banks my home. And whatever I had was pawned to pay back the banks. And they left me on the road, literally. Now, that happened to me a couple of years ago. And I'm still alive and I have a wonderful wife and have two great kids. But I try and help people as best I can. I don't have all the answers. I have some of them. But people must realise today, Joe, that they have got to put themselves first. I didn't do it with my family, and Enda Kenny's not doing it with this country. All right? So I'm learning from my mistakes. I have nothing today, but I have peace of mind. And what Paul is doing, Paul needs to sit down and slash his debts and do not wait for someone to give him permission what he is morally and legally obliged to do, which is take care of his family.
Yeah, but Ben Dunn's
making...
There
is no insolvency act.
Ben Dunn is taking the different road, literally. He's taking the road to Newry. He's saying, Paul, go to Newry for 15 months.
I have no experience of bankruptcy. I'm not even a bankrupt, Joe. I just had enough of them.
I'm saying that's enough.
So I appreciate Ben's. I'm delighted that Ben is on the phone, and I met him a long time ago, and he's a man I've always
admired.
Barry,
you haven't gone bankrupt. So do you still owe the bank money?
Oh, I owe them £500,000. A little over £500,000. I paid back about £4 million.
And that will follow you and follow your children. If you die, God forbid, follow your children.
Follow me where, Joe? I don't have anything. I've nothing. I've two pieces of property, and I have a car with 240,000 miles in it that somebody gave me. But I'm 44 years old. I'm able to speak my mind. I'm able to do the best I can one day at a time. Right? When this crisis started for me, we were eating 5 days out of seven. And thankfully, due to some charity, and I'm trying to do my best, we're eating 7 days out of seven today. And things will get better, slowly but surely. But I had to realise that I had to stand up for myself and not wait for permission from banks or their solicitors or their agents for me to protect my family. I learned a little bit too late, Joe. And I've had my days in court. I've spent a load of time in court. And I've found judges excellent. Because if you do what's right and if your paperwork is good and if you go into court and if you're doing the best you can, you will have nothing to fear.
What would you advise Paul to do? 450,000, the house was bought for. He still owes 440. It's worth between 100 and 150, or maybe even 200. He has no prospect of paying back the negative equity. What would you advise him to do?
The first thing that Paul should do, I believe, and he survived this long without me. So, I mean, the first thing he should do is sit down and do a budget. I know he's got very little money, but sit down and do a budget. And he has got to provide for himself and his family. If he's paying everything over to the banks and is left with zero, he has no money for CVs.
Well there's times we don't pay over to the bank. There's times we just say, OK, we can't pay over to the bank because we need a new tyre on the car. So there's times where we don't pay. But that adds to the stress because now you get a call the odd time saying, you haven't paid. And now I haven't been hounded by the call.
If you haven't paid, Paul, it's OK. You're doing the best you can. If it's not good enough, there's nothing you can do about it. You make sure that when you get this call of who you're speaking to, you take note of what time they phoned you and you write to them and you explain to them and you keep a copy of the letter of why they weren't paid. Yeah. And when the time comes that they bring you to court, I guarantee you, if you get excellent with paperwork, you produce all your documentation to a judge and you'll say, I'm doing the best I can, Your Honour, and there's nothing I can do. Yeah. A judge will see that.
But Ben Dunn is proposing the difference in what Ben Dunn is proposing is he's proposing a proactive approach. He's saying don't wait for the banks. He's saying you do it. Get on that motorway and get up to Newry.
Yeah. I was actually specifically talking to people who can do it without creating too much hassle. Now I see two options. I see the option there where you keep your paperwork right, and I do agree that the justice system in this country is very fair, and if you go in and if you have your paperwork right, the judge will see that you're doing everything you can, and it at least will help in some way to take the pressure off Paul. But I'm saying to stop more people getting into Paul and Elizabeth's state, if they're young enough and are free enough, take the option now of doing hardship for 15 months and get rid of the debt. Don't end up like Paul and Elizabeth, who there are thousands and thousands and thousands of in this country, and who will eventually, a lot of them will get nervous breakdowns. It'll affect their children. It'll affect
It's happening already, Ben. I mean, I see it every day. It is horrific what is going on.
I'm glad that you agree with me.
Okay,
you're a strong man.
Stay there. More people want to talk to you after the break. 51551.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
Eddie Walsh is in Waterford. Eddie, good afternoon.
Joe, good afternoon.
Talk to Joe.
Okay, we're talking to Francis, who was bankrupt in the north. Go ahead, Eddie.
No, you were making the, you were asking, I think, for the gentleman there with the 750,000 debt.
Yeah, Francis.
And you were saying to him, can you get a credit card? Can you get a loan? Yeah. Can you get this? Well, if he hadn't done what he'd done and what Ben is suggesting people do, for the next, for the day he dies with that 750,000 debt, he'll never get a credit card anyway. But what Ben is saying, he can walk away from that credit card or no credit card, 750,000 is gone. I mean, that's massive. Like, but you know what the real elephant in the room here that no one is really getting into here? The government here are so far removed from the situation that they're actually sending out property tax letters to people who are actually on the verge of committing suicide because of the property that they're actually living in, because of the pressure that's coming from the banks, that they are actually paying to bail out to pay bondholders, and it's a full circle. And the government that invested on 160,000 a year and 50,000 a year expenses, dining in five-star restaurants, they're so far removed from the person on the ground here, it's unbelievable. It's an absolute disgrace. And what they should, and I hope that Enda Kenny and Phil Hogan and Michael Noonan, I hope they're all listening to this show today.
Well, they're in Dublin Castle at the ECOFIN meeting, but anyway, and they are today and tomorrow, most of them. But,
well,
but
and they're the
doing,
workers,
they're, well, they're doing their job. They're doing their job as well.
They're actually not doing their job. Okay. They're feathering their own nests. They're not doing their job at all. They're not listening to the people. They don't care. It's a joke.
And Eddie, what are you hearing? You're in Waterford. What are you hearing from people around you about their mortgages, paying off debts, and the reaction to what the likes of what Ben Dunne is saying, which is be proactive with the bank. Don't wait for the bank to come after
proactive.
You.
One gentleman I mentioned about, don't be looking for permission to be proactive. Like, people are going without food, they're going without heating, and there's kids going to school hungry. Because people are trying to pay the banks. Stop paying the banks, as Ben says. And don't be looking for permission. Go in and be proactive. There's two options there. Ben's one and that other gentleman there that was on last year. Keep a documentation. Do the best you can and prove that. And you've nothing to fear then.
Joe, can I make just one point about being proactive?
Yes, Ben, yeah.
When the tribunal made a finding against me that I was a corrupt man.
Yeah, I remember that, yeah.
I immediately said I hope that my file is sent to the DPP, and to the best of my knowledge, the file was sent to the DPP. That's what I mean by proactive.
And have you heard from the DPP?
Never heard a word from the DPP.
And do you expect to hear from the DPP?
Which?
Do you expect to hear? What have you?
I don't know. I mean, I'm one of these people that they could walk up the door now because I'm on the phone and knock on my door and say, listen, I want to see you. That's life. But it's not scaring the living daylights out of me. The nothing I've done is a hanging offence. And in fact, I've done nothing wrong, in my opinion. But I did say, this is how proactive I am. I did say to the tribunal and to the chairman at the time, and I said it on, I think, your show, send my file to the DPP.
I remember that, yeah. And how do you know they have...
They sent it, but and many years later, I'm still walking around and I haven't been handcuffed or arrested.
And how do you know they haven't sent it?
I'm not a hard man to find now if they want to interview
me. No, but sorry, how do you know that the file was sent to the DPP?
I haven't a clue. Listen, I have no say in what tribunals do, but the point I'm just making is that's my character, to be proactive. And when I'm in a situation to save my bacon, I go on the attack. And if I was in the situation where people now were free enough to get rid of debt that they should never have in the first place, because all the advice, I remember the Taoiseach of the day saying people who are talking down the property prices should commit suicide.
Yes, Joe, the government promoted it.
Like the government promoted it, the people that were advising people that are in NAMA today advising NAMA, and I'm not going to give any names, these were the same people who advised people to buy properties, that property prices were going to continue to rise. People were saying that growth in Ireland was going to be 3% until 2020. These are the self-same people today that are advising NAMA, earning hundreds of thousands a year. Now, I've never went along with a situation where poacher becomes gamekeeper. Yeah. And it's the same bankers. I mean, it's the same set of accountants. It's the same firm of solicitors.
Well, Ben, were you not buddies with all of those people?
I was buddies with nobody. I'll tell you that now. If
you
I
were.
Was buddies,
you were. You were buddies with Charlie Haughey.
That's
you,
not...
You gave him a million.
I was a friend of Charlie Haughey's. I agree with that.
You gave him a million.
Michael Lowry's. But any... We don't...
Hold on a second, Joe.
I don't
want to
use
names.
I know, I'm just saying...
No, but I don't want to use
names. Ben is using the phrase.
Hold on, Joe.
Hold on.
on, Joe. Let's talk about the Civil War.
Let me just finish. Okay. Let Ben finish.
Sorry,
I don't want to use names, even though you choose to do it. But I agreed on the program before I came on that I wouldn't use names. But in fairness, you're running the program. But believe me, the people that were on one side of the fence 8 years ago and advising young people and advising people to buy. And they're the self-same people now that are on the other side of the coin today in banks and in NAMA and are advising screw.
Okay.
Ben, and I just don't
like that.
Just to get back to basics, Joe.
I want to ask Ben one more question.
Okay.
And that is, Ben, you mentioned Michael Lowry, your friend. Right?
He's a man I know, he's your friend.
Have you listened to the Michael Lowry tape that was broadcast on TV3? I suggest you should.
Listen.
What do you think of him now?
Listen, I want to tell you, just because what he said on the tape doesn't stop me. Is it a crime to say you're a friend of Michael Lowry's?
No, I'm just saying the tape is...
You're
the
asking
tape,
me, I'm telling
no, Ben,
you.
No, Ben, I'm saying you should listen to the tape. The tape is jaw-dropping.
Joe, I listen to loads of things. But what really counts in my brain is what's important. What Michael Lowry said on that tape today is of no relevance to what I'm talking about today.
Just you mention his name. And he does, his name doesn't often come up. It doesn't come up often.
I'm trying to be focused. I rang about a specific thing today.
I know, I take
today,
that point. Tom,
the hardship that people are going through because
in fairness, you have connected with a lot of people. Tom and Galway before the break. Tom, good afternoon.
John or Joe, how are you?
You're listening to Ben Dunn.
Yeah, and I agree with him wholeheartedly. I think things will have to change in Ireland. The whole mindset has to change. People have to take their situation they're in by the scruff of the neck and deal with it, and your family comes first. We need radical... the change will come, but when, I don't know. But we have to have change in this country. The politicians haven't a clue.
Not a clue, I agree with you.
And what about...
There has to be a new breed of people that come in and run this country and put the people first.
Yeah, the people we got in the last election are only in by mistake.
Okay, Jane is in Santry. Jane, good afternoon.
Hi, Joe. How's it going?
You're 30 years. You say you walked away from... How much was the debt?
It was €300,000, roughly. That was made up of mortgage and it was a business loan as well.
And how did you, in your own phrase, walk away from it?
Well, we were declared bankrupt over in the UK.
So that's what Ben was suggesting. What was it like?
It was very tough. Like, it was a big decision, obviously, to make, but it was the best thing we ever did.
There you go.
And how did you have... I heard a child in the background, Jen. Do you have children? Did you have children?
Yeah, we had one little boy then at the time. He was 2 at the time, and we had just gotten married, so we just couldn't live over here. Like, I don't know. We just couldn't sleep at night, you know. It was an awful time, so it definitely changed our lives for the better.
And what did you do, Jane? Did you rented a house in the UK, or...?
Yeah, we did. My husband's actually from the UK, so we went over. Like, we were lucky we'd family and that over there. But, yeah, we rented a house over in the UK. Like, we had to kind of make a decision here to stop paying what we were trying to pay off some loans and plough it into, you know, you need obviously money to go bankrupt. You know, we had to have a month's rent and that over there. And my husband had to sign on. Like, he'd no job anyway here. So we signed on over in the UK. And, like, it was very tough over there. Like, you're living on, we got £102 a week from the social, you know, for the...
And how long were you away for, Jane?
We were away for a year. Like, we were actually discharged after the year, so we came back to Ireland then.
Exactly what Ben Dunn suggested.
And Joe, the one thing, and I'm going
to... Ben, you'll be finished in 2 minutes anyway, Ben, because I have to take this break. 51551, back after this.
Talk to Joe on 1850-715-815.
Jane, what was the hardest part then of going to the UK to become bankrupt for the year? What was the hardest part?
Well, the hardest part, like, was probably emotionally, you know, leaving my family and stuff, because we fully went over there with the intention of settling over there, of staying over there. Like, we, you know, were applying for jobs and stuff, but it just didn't work out and we did end up coming back. But, yeah, it was emotionally hard. And then, like, we didn't kind of tell friends and family and stuff. We only told very close family what we were doing because of the stigma attached to bankruptcy as well.
And after the year, when you were declared bankrupt and your mortgage debt was gone and whatever other debts you had were gone as well in Ireland, what was the difference in terms of your day-to-day emotional life?
Oh, it was a huge difference, because actually sleep at night, you know, that sick feeling in my stomach was gone. like, we'd only just gotten married, but we didn't have that honeymoon period because it was just arguments about money. It wasn't good for our child. And, like, I was saying, I always wanted to have a big family. We were saying, there's no way we could afford children or, you know, so now we have another child now and things are just so different now.
Yeah, that's been done, predicted. So Kevin is in Dublin. Kevin, good afternoon.
Joe, how are you? Thanks for taking my call.
You were with the bank yesterday.
I was maybe it's coincidence, but the bank ran to me yesterday.
Oh, they ran to you.
I'm 50 years of age, and they went through everything, and they actually turned around and said to me, "Well, Mr. Nolan, I see that you were paying contributions to charitable donations,
right.
And they said that you should stop doing that and give us what you give."
And what were your charitable donations? Can I ask you? A direct debit or something, or?
Quit to the bank.
No, what
would it... Well, the charitable donation, that if you went to Mass or anything else like that, like what you're putting into the plate, that I should be prioritising my mortgage.
Oh, they said to you, by the way, do you make charitable... Are you charitable?
Yes, like, you know, we see that you...
Vince Nepal or Daffodil Day or whatever.
Yeah.
And they said, stop doing that.
Stop doing that and stop giving to the church on Sunday when you go to Mass, that I should be... my mortgage is the most important thing in my life. That I should be contributing to them rather than the charitable donations.
And what's your stress level? How much do you owe, by the way?
Well, I'm 50. I'm on an industrial wage. Yeah. They gave me the mortgage on the value of my house, which they valued at 580,000.
Right.
And at the time of the boom. And I wouldn't even sell it now for 180.
My God.
So I'm in negative eggery. I'm paying a certain amount of or a week to them. And even at that, to have everything that I earn on front of them, and they're still looking for more.
And what about Ben Dunn's idea of the
year? Well, I think what Ben's idea is a great idea, but I'm 50. I have a teenage daughter.
Yeah.
You know, like, definitely if I thought that I'd get away with it, and, like, what Ben is suggesting is that you go to Newry and stay up in Newry.
Sorry, Kevin, you'd go to Newry and stay there.
Is that what Ben is...
Well, to stay for a year.
Stay for a year and...
Declare yourself bankrupt and then the loan is... your debt is gone. Debt is wiped.
Joe, there's one thing, and I'm going to end. I just want to say
Ben,
this.
Okay.
I hope all of the listeners can see the difference. I mean, the difference between the people who are under extreme pressure due to debt, the difference on their tone as against people who have dealt with it, whatever way they've dealt with it, is alarming. And for people to be living in that pressure cooker environment in their brain for much longer is going to lead to a huge deterioration in people's mental state in this country. And it won't be tens of thousands, it'll be hundreds of thousands. That's my prediction. And until the government get a grip of it and start looking at it realistically, they're sitting on a time bomb. Because we've only touched on it in a 45-minute period here today, and it was only by chance when I heard the word eviction. It's like the time I rang you about the turf cutting. It got to my Irishness that we weren't allowed to cut turf. And I said, don't vote yes to this referendum.
Okay, but what you're saying, there are other options and people seriously sit down
and people,
get advice and work out all your
options.
Well,
I'm telling anybody who's young enough now, without any ties, should get on the bus up to Newry or get on an aeroplane over to England, just go for 15 months and get rid of the noose around their neck and don't end up like some of the people that we've listened to today who are depressed and who are hospitalised and are in the bank, have them cornered, and they are in a desperate state.
Okay.
I'd hate to be in their state.
Okay, thanks again, Ben Dunn. Apologies to the callers we didn't get on, but you can listen back on podcast. Today's producer was Siobhan Hawk. Maeve Mooney's the BCO. Ailish O'Shea is the researcher, and John O'Brien was on sound. We are